Welcome to our Friday Five Live podcast hosted by Meg Foster. Meg has spent 20 years in higher education focused on student success initiatives and working in areas such as orientation, faculty development, online learning, student leadership, and first-year initiatives.
Normally, we do this in a little bit of an extended manner, but our podcast, we've discovered there's just so much going on in our world of higher education that we wanted to offer. I'm going to give LT Reese Miles the tribute for this, a snack size portion of a podcast today. And I'm very, very grateful to have with us Dr. Harold Campbell, who's joining us. Dr. Campbell is a retired TRIO administrator, served in multiple programs, Upward Bound, SSS, McNair, and served as the president of WestOp, is still doing consulting work. And then we also have the great honor of having Ms. Kimberly Jones joining us. She's the president of COE. And just here to discuss, I know it's been an exciting couple of weeks in the world of higher education, federal funding, and specifically thinking through our TRIO programming. So just to quickly get a couple of housekeeping things out, there's some slides in that we've shared with you here if you want to share our podcast with others. As we move through today, feel free to do that. You've got lots of directions there on how to do that. And I've done a very quick introduction because I really want to make sure we're giving you both most time possible to focus on our questions. We welcome folks, put your questions in our chat. As always, you know, this is a place where we want to focus. Last week, we had a great conversation about DEI in higher education, given the current climate. So our goal is to leave this space with renewal for the work for the week ahead. So Dr. Campbell and Ms. Jones, thank you so much for being with us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And we started off thinking about this kind of conversation around sort of what's the historical context. You know, I was a history major and I always think I approach my work from that perspective. You know, what kind of have we had experienced these sorts of challenges in the past regarding, freezing of funds or concern about funding scenarios? And if so, kind of does history give us any sort of guidance for the space that we find ourselves in now? And we're just going to open those questions up. So, you know, Ms. Jones, Dr. Campbell, you just hop in as you see fit.
Well, I'm happy to kick things off. And I know Dr. Campbell, he was around for some of the historic fights I'll probably mention, so he can give more color to this conversation. But my best information, and I've talked to people who've been doing this for a very, very long time, what we're seeing now, the attempt to freeze federal funding through executive order, is unprecedented. So that's kind of the first thing people need to understand. And in this instance, it wasn't targeting any one particular program, and it was government-wide, really. And we see now that there have been at least two federal courts that have issued restraining orders against the funding freeze. And so because of that, everything should be proceeding as normal. But historically, TRIO has faced a lot of challenges, whether it was attempts in the past to severely cut its funding. You know, there's something we call the 12-day war that happened back in 1983 when the Senate Appropriations Committee attempted to cut TRIO's funding by a third. And within 12 days, we had gotten that money back and then some. There was in 1995, when the new Republican majority took over the Congress, and in their budget proposal, they specifically listed TRIO as something that should be eliminated. And of course, we know that didn't happen. During the George W. Bush presidency, there were efforts to take part of TRIO, so our Upward Bound and Talent Search programs, and the Gear Up program, which is a sister program of ours. There was an attempt to wipe those off the books and incorporate them into his No Child Left Behind initiative. And even during the Obama administration and the first Trump administration, there were calls for reductions in certain TRIO programs. The first Trump presidency called for eliminating two programs altogether. So we've definitely had our share of targeted battles over time.
And Dr. Campbell and I had a little bit of a conversation about some of that historic experience. And Dr. Campbell was, reminding me, I wrote a paper about this in college, about Reagan and that administration, and what happened there. And Dr. Campbell, that was kind of some words of, I felt like, kind of comfort in reminding us that we've been in this space before and have come back stronger.
If I could put it into some context, outside of the current Battle of Trio, there's always during the change between Republicans and Democrat a philosophical change. When Republicans come in, they always want to move to decentralized government. They want services delivered from the states. When Democrats are in, they want services delivered more from a centralized government. So we see that in play right now philosophically. And then on top of that, we see an ideological difference. And I'm not sure totally what the ideology is, but it's very passionate. And the speed at which this current administration has moved just in the last week is unprecedented. We've never seen as much attack on as many fronts at once. And I think it's also caught up in a battle that's been long running with Department of Education to pull down Department of Education or to support the Department of Education. So the Department of Education goes all the way back to the 1890s when it was in office. It became a field office, then it became a full national office with the changing of HEW. And so all of those things are going on, in addition to the real trepidation that we feel about TRIO. And TRIO, in my regard, has done as well as any federal group has done. And I've always thought the beauty and the strength of TRIO is its organization as a social movement. Mitch used to refer to it as the modern civil rights movement, but it's very well organized. It's able to speak for us in Washington to the people that need to hear it. And we have a full-time presence there that makes our case. So we've had an opportunity over time to be known to Congress. And I'm going to steal a few things from Mitch and so forth across time. But one of the things he's always said is we have no permanent enemies, no permanent friends. We make people aware of who we are and help them to understand what it is that we contribute. So going through that history, factually, from 1965 to date, TRIO has continued to grow. Even under our worst enemies, as Kim said, under Reagan, whom we all fear tremendously, we came out of that doing better than we'd ever done. People that we had anticipated being friends, like Obama, each president came in, they had their own wrinkle. They had their own programs that they wanted to put forward. And we had to keep TRIO alive within that. So I think that's the context of it. And each time we've gone through it, it's felt much like this to me. It's felt very frightening. But we've done the work to position ourselves as well as we could.
Yeah, and just to build off of that, I put into the chat the bio of our president emeritus at COE, our founding president, Dr. Arnold Mitchum. So those of you who may not know who Mitch was, that's some background for you. But one thing he talks about frequently in this climate is that we, as an organized community, have so many more tools at our disposal than they did back in the eight, like when COE was first getting started. And so, beyond the fact that we're organized, we have just so many more things at our disposal to help us fight.
And one of those got, I think that's a really lovely segue to this question that Todd Hayden put in, which is, are there concise data points connecting like TRIO SSS specifically kind of to that return on investment of taxpayer money? And you said, yes, we have that. We can demonstrate, to use the hashtag TRIO works, right? That there are these outcomes we can point to. And I would imagine that's one of those tools that you're kind of just speaking of, these resources that we have. So I really appreciate you being open to sharing those kinds of resources with our listening audience. And I think that ties nicely into this kind of question around, this is such a time of uncertainty, and I know that there's just a wealth, a slew of information, some of it good, some of it not good. Where are places that we should be listening, I would guess, would be one of my first questions, Ms. Jones. That might be a question for you. Where, so much out there. What should we be paying attention to? Does that make sense?
That's hard for everybody right now because things are
Right.
happening so fast and furious. And there's a lot of rumor, conjectures floating around. And so I do think you want to go to trusted sources. Every day, I think for the last couple of weeks, myself and my colleagues have been getting messages from community members saying, "I heard this," and I heard like, "No, that's it's like a game of telephone. One person says one thing, by the time it gets to a second or third party, it's a completely different message." And so that's one thing we're at COE trying very hard to do is making sure that we're keeping our finger on the pulse and getting timely information out to the community. And we're in talks with our legal counsel. We're in talk with other advocacy groups on Capitol Hill to make sure we have a comprehensive picture. So one thing I know we're committed to doing is putting out data that and timely information that is as accurate as possible to our community.
I think one of the tools that we have is a leadership that's been there and in place and very well trained, from Dr. Mitchum to Maureen, now to Kim. That leadership has worked together with each other across time and passed on those knowledges. So each has built from what the other knows. And so we come together with a leadership that can help with this. I don't have any difficulty at all pointing people to any place. I think the place to point people, I'm pointing people to, is the council. The council at this point is pulling the information together. It's the concise information. It's what we ought to be doing next. And if there's any particular step, I think that's next, people ought to be going to the policy seminar after they've assured that they're already institutional members. That's what's been able to distinguish us from other groups and have troops on the ground that listen professionally, that also have the legal acumen to understand how to make the fight go. So that's where I'm pointing people to. I'm saying that's your best source of information through your regional associations, but ultimately back to the council that works together for all of us.
Excellent. And thank you. Ms. Jones has put in our chat the COE policy seminar is coming up March 16th through the 20th in Washington, D.C. I can't wrap my mind around how complex and complicated and what important conversations are going to happen there. So glad that we can remind people of that really critical resource. Ms. Jones, did you had a kind of look like want to make sure.
The only thing I would say, definitely we need people at policy seminar for sure. That's our first, historically, that's our first real ascent to the Hill for the calendar year. But given the speed at which everything's happening, we can't wait until policy seminar to be activated. We really need people who care about TRIO to be in touch with their members of Congress now. You saw how quickly things were dialed back and have been dialed back because of public outcry. And so, members, particularly your Republican members of Congress, they hold all the cards. They hold the House and the Senate and the White House. They need to hear from folks. And so, if you have a concern, 202-224-3121, that is the Capitol switchboard. You can reach any congressional office and let them know, "Hey, my name is so and so. I'm a TRIO director from such and such. I'm a constituent. And I'm really concerned. These programs do a lot of good in our community. They employ a lot of people. They are helping turn our first gen college students into college graduates. And we need to protect these programs." So yeah, I'll put the number in the chat. Capitol Switchboard.
Thanks, LT, for suggesting that. And that's a great segue to this question, really around strategies. I know you all have been doing some kind of, and feel free to correct my language here, advocacy training for students. Like, how can I speak up about my concerns? I know COE's been doing offering those kinds of resources online. Other things we should be doing to certainly make those phone calls. but other advice you have around effectively.
Well, the good news that I think distinguishes this fight from other fights we've had is that it's not just us. We're not just being targeted. I mean, this is really an all-out assault on so many pieces of the federal government. And so you're not alone, people who are concerned. And so this is the time when you talk to people in your community, whether it's your church, your synagogue, your mosque, other people in or the other community-based organizations, because they're concerned too. And the more voices that are out there expressing concern, members of Congress that have one objective, and that's to stay in Congress. And so they have to care about what their constituents are saying.
I sat down and I tried to put together a list of what I think people need to do. And let me give it to you. So the first thing is to strengthen your community relationships on campus. People should know who you are. You should be able to depend on them. You don't want to wait till there's a crisis to identify yourself. So, and much of what happens on campuses are about relationships. So strengthen those. You need to contact your upline supervision. Get an understanding of what you can do, what your permissions are to proceed, how you can fit your effort into their effort. Contact the House of Representatives. As Kim has said, Republicans are key. Both of those numbers have been given out. Attend the policy seminar. I think you need to verify that your institution is an institutional member. It will take funds to stay the course here. Check with your regional educational opportunity association. See what they're doing, how you can fit into those things. Form both parent and alumni groups that can help support you, as well as student groups. Run your program professionally and effectively. Meet your contractual obligations. Right now, when people look at you, you want them to see that you're doing what you've contracted to do and you're part of the solution. Prepare for a long-term advocacy struggle. This won't be over in a few days. And it's going to be frustrating. So periodically congratulate yourself for hanging in there and doing a good job, because you're not going to be able to avoid the stress of it. All you can really do is manage it. So prepare for something long range, and understand that there's been help in the past. Now, nobody knows where this one's going. We've never seen a whirlwind like this. But what we do is we fight for the future that we want, and we do it in the best way that we can, and that's our best position to operate from.
Ditto.
Think those are, yeah, go ahead, Ms. Jones.
No, just that's all excellent. Absolutely. 100% second.
Yeah, the really great tangible list of action items. I told Dr. Campbell I like to talk, but I need some things I can actually do. And that helps me to feel less anxious about this future and its uncertainty. And it I like to put my money where my mouth is, so to speak. So as we're thinking about these action items, right, and involving, I love that reaching out to our alumni, reaching out to our parents, explaining, sharing these things. I mean, there are folks who are not aware, right, that this is going on. Any thoughts about, there's been some rumblings, maybe you've seen it in the news, around the Department of Education going away, and thoughts about what that might mean, because I'm hearing a lot of anxiety around that, from the folks I know in trio spaces.
Sure. So, a couple things about that. There are some very credible rumors that an executive order is being prepared to instruct the leadership of the Department of Education to assemble a plan to wind down, to dismantle. One thing that's really important to remember, a president cannot create or eliminate an agency. So, for instance, even though there's something called the Department of Government Efficiency, that's not a federal agency. It's, an initiative out of the White House, but it's not a federal department. Congress has the authority only to do that, and they have to grant the president the authority if they want to give that authority away. And so that's number one. Now, that said, there is legislation that has been introduced. I think last week, Congressman Massey of Kentucky introduced, I think it's a one-line bill that says the Department of Education shall cease by December 31st, 2025. I think that's what it says. The in Thank God for procedural rules. I do not believe that there are sufficient votes for that, even if it passes the House, for it to pass in the Senate because of the cloture rule. All of that said, if the Department of Education were to poof, disappear, the programs operated out of the department do not. Those are all legislated. They are codified in law. And so, for instance, Dr. Campbell mentioned the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. That's where TRIO originated. We
Right.
predate the Department of Education.
Right.
And so, for instance, if the agency were to go away, the functions of it would just have to be reorganized and reassigned. So, for instance, Treasury might get student loans, something like that. So I don't want people, I mean, certainly it's not a great thing if the Department of Education goes away. It does a lot of important things, but I don't want people to get so much caught up on that as much as the bigger picture, if that makes sense.
Yes, I think that's a really important thing to distinguish because I think that headline captures
Right.
folk attention in a way that then distracts maybe from the more important kinds of messaging. Okay, so if folks have questions we have a few minutes. I want to make sure we're keeping to time because I know both of you are so busy, but what are some proactive ways? If we're living in this time of funding uncertainty, and certainly you all have explained that this is not the first time, right? We've done this, we've ridden these waves before. But any advice, resources, recommendations that you're suggesting programs might look to make sure they are able to sustain in uncertain times the good and critical work that they're doing for our students nationwide?
Well, again,
Sort of that last.
not the one thing, but one thing Dr. Campbell said that I think is really important. People on your campus have to know who you are. When we thought, for instance, that there was a federal funding freeze that was going to go into place, and to be fair, this is easier at more wealthy institutions, but there were some programs that were told, "Hey, if they freeze us, we'll float you." And so the reason they were able to get that kind of assurance is because they knew who those programs were. They knew the success rates that they had. And so making sure you're a known entity on your campus and the impact you're having, because you're going to need your administration to defend you. And even absent this kind of threat, we're always encouraging our TRIO personnel to have stronger relationships. The TRIO dollars only go so far, and as much as you can get your institution to pour additional resources into your work, the stronger you'll be.
And that relationships, it's very, if you could hear the one thing, hear that. Working for 21 years at UC Berkeley, it was like a small town. Gossiping, people would do things, bureaucrats could hold you up, but you could have a friend in a department that you knew that you'd done things for would make something happen instantly. So it's really the relationships, what you've done for others, what you let them know about you. So you want to constantly build those for any reason, but this is a good reason to build them now. Again, some institutions, when they've lost programs and programming, have floated the programs. But again, that's a very difficult thing for an institution to step in and take up the federal share. So the best thing is that we continue to work to hold on to those things that we have. And again, one of the things that Dr. Mitchum always said is we're Americans, and we have a right to step forward and make our voice heard and tell people what it is that we need in an effective manner. And that's all you're really trying to do here. You're saying, well, you have an ideology, I have an ideology, you have a bias, I have a bias. We're working for low-income first-generation students. We have some success. We'd like to continue that. And if it's not done at the federal level, where will it get done? States aren't well equipped financially to take on all this responsibility. And the need is certainly there.
So we've had a trail as said. Thank you so much. I'm glad you all exist and are out there. So I think, one of the things I always hope for our podcast is that we leave renewed for the work ahead. And we started this podcast right 6 weeks into shutdown when higher education folks were feeling We were exhausted, so that's always been an important central part to who we are. So in our last few minutes, as we're thinking about the work ahead, any words of encouragement? I think you've given us action items. You've given us some reassurance that we have this past history that we can lean into as we move forward. You're doing this good work. COE, we appreciate all the wealth of information and resources that I just can't imagine how quickly you all are having to adjust that. But those words to propel us forward for the weeks and months to come. No pressure.
Well, I have a very, again, Dr. Campbell has the historical. I've been through a few of these fights, but not as many. I've been in TRIO for about 17 years. The one thing that, again, I don't know why I'm saying it that way. One thing Dr. Campbell said that's really important is that this is going to be a marathon. This is not going to be a sprint. And so it is important for us to take care of ourselves and our students for the journey. I know the concept of self-care is really commercialized, but it really emerged, out of the 1960s for social workers and those in caring professions. In order to allow themselves to do their work, they had to take care of themselves as well. And so I definitely encourage the community. We can't be on 10 all the time. So get your sleep, drink your water, get some fresh air, have a good laugh. Because we've got a lot of work to do. And Kim Shelton, I see your question there. I spoke with someone at the department late last week. Everything is proceeding thus far with SSS grant competition.
And just to state really quickly, Kim's question was update on TRIO SSS grant proposal. So appreciate you addressing that, Ms. Jones. Dr. Campbell.
Again, I'm just mirroring. So modern times, the problem in modern times is the fight and flight is gone. You can't see the dragon that you're fighting, but the dragon is always there. And so not being able to see the dragon that you're fighting, you cannot avoid stress in these times, but you must periodically stop and say, last week, I did as well with that stress as I could. I'm going to go and buy myself a Philly cheesesteak, or I'm going to get myself an Eagles mug. And you have to sustain yourself. This is work. It's a profession. We are professionals, and we have to keep going through. These are the things that we go through. And Latanya, good to see you and hear from you also. Okay. So let's do what we've got to do, and let's keep ourselves healthy, and let's be thankful for the leadership that we have, and we're as well organized as any group in the country to take this on. We didn't ask for this, but we're in it, so let's win it.
All right.
Love those. We didn't ask for this, but we're in it, so let's win it.
Great.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for this snack-sized podcast of information. You've shared with us action items. You've shared with us resources for moving forward. While we know there's a policy summit coming up in March, we also know that there's work to be done before then. Don't wait till March. I would challenge us all. I know several folks I've had conversations with, they're like, yeah, but I don't like to talk on the phone. And I'm like, be brave and do it anyway. We're going to call our representatives. We're going to call our senators. We're going to share that TRIO works. There's information out there demonstrating that we can point to real facts and figures, which I know is often important that our politicians have those snack size, shall we say, content pieces.
And, at least because I've been doing this too, so people think I'm a hypocrite. I've been calling my legislators as well. A lot of their phones, they've got the answering machine on because they're getting flooded. So leave your messages. Don't be afraid to and follow up with the contact form, or we can tell you the name of the actual individual staff member to email. But yeah, don't let that fear stop you.
Right, because there's important work to do, but we also need to take care of ourselves in the marathon that we are in. I know we're at time. I know folks need to hop off. I do just want to say the February 28th, we'll be back here at 12 noon talking about male students, particular focus on Black male college students and what we can do to support that vulnerable population in their continued success. So, which I think speaks to much of the work of our amazing TRIO programs. Dr. Campbell and Ms. Jones, What an incredible gift to get to spend 30 minutes of my week with you both. Thank you so much for being on here, and for really helping us to continue moving forward, with this important work. Thank you both so much.
Can
Thank
I say
you.
two things in closing? There's one of our male participants that wants to know if shopping at KG's is a form of self-care. Absolutely. Shopping, if that's your thing, go for it. And I think we need to keep the council encouraged. It's a tremendous resource like no other social movement in the country has. So let's keep them feeling good because they're in the middle of the battle every day. That's it for me.
Well, thank you, Dr. Campbell. Thank you, Ms. Jones. We'll send you some new running shoes if you need them. You all hang in there, and everyone have a great week. I hope there's time this weekend for rest and renewal, and I look forward to seeing you at the end of February. Thank you
Thank
all.
you all.
Thank
Good
you.
morning. Bye-bye. Good afternoon.
Bye. Take care.
Bye.
Friday Five Live is brought to you by Innovative Educators. Innovative Educators offers six online services for your onboarding support and training needs. Visit us at innovativeeducators.org to see how we can support your student success initiatives.